We're talking about how to learn to love your body today. And you know the expression, don't get mad, get even? Well, that could be the motto for Surrey Walker's new novel, Dietland. It's a fat girl's revenge fantasy and a feminist manifesto all in one. The heroine's name is Plum Kettle. She weighs 300 pounds. She longs to be thin, but she's also really angry. She just doesn't realize it yet. Reviewers are calling the book Fight Club for Women, and Surrey says that's right.
Well, yeah, so I saw the film Fight Club. This was many years ago because this book has been part of my life for a really long time in some form. And, you know, I saw this film. It was very political. It was very angry and defiant and in your face. And I thought, you know, I want something like that for women. I think women are incredibly angry, but we turn our anger inward towards ourselves, which manifests as depression or self-hatred and these kind of immobilizing feelings. And I think Fight Club is an example of men having anger and turning it outward and trying to find the root cause of their anger. That's what I tried to write about in Dietland, is what would happen if women stopped, or at least this one woman in the novel, stopped internalizing her anger and turned it outward where it belongs. What would happen?
And that's where this underground guerrilla group comes in called Jennifer. They're kind of, what would you call them, vigilante feminists?
Yeah, an avenger, I guess, is what we kind of refer to. For the reader, I think of it as a revenge fantasy.
The CEO of Townsend's received a threatening note, which the police deemed to be credible. The note, signed Jennifer, demanded that the lads' magazines be removed from every branch of Townsend's and replaced with softcore gay male porn. The CEO took immediate action. The lads' magazines were exchanged for those that featured images of buff young men, hairless and muscled and bronzed, with bulging underpants, if they were wearing underpants. The men played with their nipples and flashed their man patches. After the renovation, Townsend's was filled with women and girls. It was funny to see images of semi-naked, sexed-up men. News reports claimed that men felt uncomfortable going into the shop since women were leering and laughing. Businessmen in Armani suits tried to conduct themselves with dignity, but it was difficult to do so with all those perfect male butts in their faces, with those men staring at them with a look that said, "Do me."
I had a lot of fun writing that, actually. I don't think we're aware often of how much women are objectified in our culture everywhere we go. It's just everywhere around us, and we really kind of don't even see it anymore. And so I wanted to flip it and say, okay, what if instead of it was women, it was men?
So play that out. I mean, what do you think would happen if, in fact, what you wrote about really happened in the real world?
I think men would just freak out, to be honest. I mean, I don't think they have any idea what it's like. So I'm not sure how it would play out if that happened, but it would be interesting to see.
In London, images of female bodies were disappearing rapidly and being replaced with male ones. Men's body parts were scattered around the city. Men's lips, torsos, legs, and buttocks. Pieces of men would flash by on the sides of buses, enough to brighten any girl's day. Tourism increased, with women from many countries anxious to see what was happening firsthand. But there were also unforeseen consequences. London was scheduled to host the G8 summit, but world leaders complained. The French president commented on a British television advert that featured a man washing his hair with a new floral-scented shampoo. The man was so excited by the shampoo experience that he made orgasm sounds as he massaged his head. "I cannot be taken seriously in such an environment," the French president said. Other world leaders echoed his comments, and so the G8 summit was moved from London to Berlin. Was New York next? That's what everyone wanted to know.
So how does Plum, your heroine, change over the course of the novel? And how is she different by the end?
Well, I think the novel, to use an old-school feminist term, it shows Plum's consciousness raising. At the beginning of the novel, you know, Plum hates fat. She hates her fat body. But then through her experiences in the novel, she becomes to realize that hatred is a political issue, that there's nothing inherently wrong with being fat, that she's been taught to hate herself for political reasons. So Plum, you know, suffered this lifetime of abuse for being fat. And then when she begins to think about why that is and why the fat female body is so hated, and so understanding that gives her a sense of power.
Why do you think the fat female body is so hated?
Fat in general is hated, but I'm particularly interested in looking at fat women. And I think because women are so closely identified with the body, that fat women do receive more negative treatment than fat men, even though fat men do receive, you know, negative treatment as well. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, if you look at the 20th century, for example, the ideal hasn't always been thin. It changes over time. And if you look, for example, at the 1920s, that's when there was really a first kind of thin craze, where women bound their breasts and wanted to appear very, very slim. And at the same time that was happening, women were gaining the right to vote, and there was kind of a flourishing feminist movement. And then we see the same thing happening again. Like after the 20s, the kind of more voluptuous body came into vogue again. But in the 60s and 70s, with the women's movement, women's emancipation, this obsession with thinness came in again.
So are you saying that every time women start getting bigger politically and taking up more room in the social sphere, there's a concomitant kind of movement to make them small physically?
Right. There's a definite link between when women get more powerful, there's a focus on making women smaller and also equating them more with their appearance. Part of the hatred of the fat body is not wanting women to take up space, yeah, physical space, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. I think it's wanting to constrict women, to make women be disciplined, to make women focus on things that are unimportant, which keeps them from doing more important things with their time.
I'm curious, what would you say to thin women? I mean, let's say you're just lucky enough to fit the cultural ideal. Do you have a responsibility?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think women, you know, who are thin have thin privilege, right? People want to be thin because if you're thin, it brings advantages, right? I mean, that's why people want to be thin. Otherwise, they wouldn't care what body size they were. So if you are thin, you get certain privileges. And I think, first of all, it's important to be aware of that. But I think also it's important not to use fat-shaming language or not to say, oh, you know, ugh, I shouldn't eat this, I'm going to get fat, or oh, I've got to go to the gym. You know, saying things that constantly harp on the fact that, oh, I don't want to gain weight. Because, you know, stop for a moment and think, how do you think that makes fat women feel? Like, you know, and there's mm-hmm. a part in the novel where Plum says, I had these four roommates who all said, oh, do I look fat? Do I look fat? And she said, when they were saying that, what they were really saying is, do I look like you? And that's what fat women hear when thin women say things like that, like, oh, do I look fat? Or, you know, I don't want to eat this. I don't want to get fat. It's very, it increases the stigma against fat women and makes our lives worse. But I think it's very important if you are a thin woman to just acknowledge your privilege and ask, what could I do? Or am I doing anything to make women feel ashamed of their bodies or that sort of thing? And, you know, also thinking about how to raise girls, you know, and modeling behavior for them so that they're not obsessed with their weight and that they can think that whatever size I am, I'm beautiful. It doesn't matter whether I'm thin or fat.
Saray Walker's debut novel is called Dietland.